Now, when we were kids, we used to have jumpers for goalposts, of course, and I'm sure you remember doing that. But I want you to imagine now going back to Victorian England in the 1870s, the early years of the FA Cup. Pitches were thick with mud, of course, and literally you were thick with mud by the end of the match as well. Crossbars and referees and whistles don't exist while players all charge around in rough and tumble manner. But there's one team that stands out, and we're going to talk about them now. And the book's called Foot Soldiers, and it's Nick Collins online. Good afternoon, Nick, how are you?
Dave, I'm very well, thank you. Yes, thanks for asking.
It's great to have you on. And we've got to take ourselves back, haven't we, to this 1870s, because football's so sanitised at the moment and clinical and you know, VAR and line technology. This is a rudimentary beginnings of football, isn't it?
Well, yes, it was. I mean, it stemmed from a few years earlier when the FA was formed. The first proper rules, if you like, of the game of football were laid down. I mean, football had existed in many forms for hundreds of years, but the Football Association were keen that there was one set of rules that everybody would abide by. And it took some time. A lot of the teams preferred their own variations. But yes, eventually it started to become a little more uniform. Whether you'd recognise the game that you would have watched back in the 1870s to the one now, well, I'm not so sure, but certainly the Royal Engineers were instrumental in making it the beautiful game, or as beautiful as it could be in the conditions that you were describing earlier, yeah, which is exactly how it was.
How did you come across this band of brothers that were playing?
Well, I can remember we were sitting round after a game somewhere abroad. I think we'd been watching England playing, and people were talking about various parts of the country that had never won the FA Cup, and somebody said, oh, well, Kent have never won the FA Cup, and I remember thinking, actually, there was a team that I remember somewhere, I'm sure, I'll have to sort of look it up, yeah. But sure enough, the Royal Engineers came from Chatham in Kent. I'm a resident of Kent, have been for over 30 years, and it piqued my interest. I have to say, this was back in 2008,
yeah.
And I made I did some research and started mapping out the opening chapters, and then it literally went on the back burner for about 9 or 10 years,
wow,
where I carried on working, doing yeah, my stuff, and eventually got back to it 18 months ago and finished it then, went all the way through and finished it then.
So I'm trying to think, Kent, what would your football team be?
Well, there is only one team in Kent, and of course that is Gillingham.
Oh, so you're a Gillingham fan, wow.
Yes, yeah. I am, yes.
Yeah. You have to be quite. I'm a Derby County fan, so I'm from Derby, and it's very. You know, when people say, you know, which team do you support? I say Derby County. They kind of have a little bit of admiration, but also recognise the trouble and the hardship that I've been through being a Derby fan all those years. You know, not glory hunter, that's for sure. Being a Gillingham fan.
Well, no, not really. Although we have had our moments at Wembley with a couple yeah, of playoff final wins, which you remember,
yes.
Obviously.
Absolutely, yeah. What made this team stand out then, Nick, altogether? Because you're talking about the style they played. What was the difference?
Okay, well, what they employed was what was called the combination game, which was basically they tried to pass it from one player to another to get it up the pitch. In the past, there were two ways of doing it. Most teams, they would dribble it through yeah, the mud in a great big group, like almost like a rolling mall in rugby. A few would boot it long in the hope that someone could run after it. Again, you could argue a bit like rugby. But the Royal Engineers tried to pass it, to beat players by passing, and they were the first ones to, it's certainly in England, yeah, to adopt the passing game like this. Now, legend has it that in Scotland they were already doing that. The famous Queen's Park team from Glasgow were also exponents of the combination game. And sadly, the two never met. It would have been an interesting game.
Would have been good.
They were unique. Not just because of that. They were also unique because, obviously, they were professional soldiers. The only team of professional soldiers to win the FA Cup, that is for sure. But it gave them an extra team spirit because they fought for Queen and country, as it was back then in the Victorian era, of course. And they fought for themselves as well. They backed each other up. And their team spirit was fairly unique, and also eventually getting them a big reason in eventually getting them over the line. But it took a few goes. There was a bit of heartache on the way, and tragedy and defeats, yeah. and all sorts.
We'll talk about a couple of those things in a minute. Just as you were talking now, my children started playing football again, not again, but started playing football. They're 8 and 4 years of age. So when watching the 4 year old play, that basically there's a whole lot of 4 and 5 year olds, and they all just follow the ball. So the way you were describing it there just reminded me of that, because there was kind of no offside rule in as it was, I suppose, and there was. So these guys really were revolutionary, weren't they, to try and pass out of a big group of people like that?
Well, yes, they were. I mean, in those days, you didn't have 4-4-2 or 4-3-3. If anything, it was 1-1-8. You'd have a back, you'd have a full back, you'd have a half back, and you'd have 8 forwards that would literally charge around. And now, the full back and the half back would hang back a little and try and defend, but the rest of the team would tend to sort of run together in a big group. Now, the Royal Engineers could play like that if they needed to, and they were a pretty formidable sight when they chose to mix it with a bit of rough and tumble. But passing was the key. That's how they believed they could win games. And eventually they were proved right. They were far too strong for all the opposition they tended to play, except in the FA Cup. They would go a couple of years without losing a game other than an FA Cup tie. And that was the nature of the beast. They had to overcome their opponents, and I think also they had to overcome a bit of a psychological problem. I wouldn't call soldiers chokers by any means, but they fell at the final hurdle a couple of times and should have won games that they didn't. But it all came right in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about Rennie then. I suppose he was kind of the Ronaldo. I don't know about who you're linking with today, but he was a superstar in the team.
Yes, he was. And doing the research, I was absolutely amazed at his prowess, not just at football, but an extraordinary cricketer as well, good enough to score a triple century, to bat with W.G. Grace, to play against England, although never for them. He was a Scotsman, as it happened. But he's the only man that ever played international football and international rugby for Scotland. But a hugely skillful player, the scorer of many, many goals, and a brave player too, because he picked up his fair share of injuries, as you tended to in those days. The officials didn't offer the players too much protection, and although hacking was meant to be illegal, there were an awful lot of very dubious challenges back in the day, and it was a very physical game. But he had a measure of skill that, for his time, was almost unique, and he put that natural talent to good use. A great team man, but by the same token, he was the spearhead of the team. He was the player that the others looked to on the pitch and off the pitch. He wasn't the captain, but he was, in every sense, the talisman.
Yeah, the leader. Yeah, and that's great, isn't it? Because we do look back and we think, we all say this, football fans today, when we're watching, oh, get up, you're rolling around on the floor, footballers from Second World War period seem to just be stronger, and I should imagine it was the same for the Victorians. They took a battering, but they just carried on playing. Was that the case?
Well, yeah, very much so. And indeed, the first final they reached in 1872, the first ever FA Cup final, they had a promising young player called Edmund Creswell, who very early on in the game was involved in a collision, and he broke and dislocated his shoulder. Yeah. Extraordinarily painful. They did their best to patch him up, but he stayed on the pitch for the whole game. and he I know it was Bert Trautmann and the broken neck from the 1950s, which was even more extraordinary, but proof that they were brave as well as good players. To stay on wasn't particularly unusual if you were injured, obviously, as long as you could continue to walk. But what happened very often, and this made me smile, is that injured players used to get put in goal on the basis that they didn't have so so much of the ball to deal with. But of course, once the opponents knew that your goalie was injured, well, they'd charge him at every possible sort of opportunity.
In some respects, things are better, Dan. So there wouldn't be a wage, would there, for them at all? Or
absolutely not. No, their money came from soldiering. They were part of the School of Electrical and Mechanical Engineering that was based at Brompton Barracks, just outside Chatham, and or Gillingham, right on the borders, really, of Chatham and Gillingham. So they earned money that way. They certainly wouldn't have got paid. They were part of the Southern Amateurs, if you like, along with the Old Etonians, the Old Carthusians, the Wanderers, Oxford University, teams like that that frowned on the Northern professionals when they came along. But, of course, the Royal Engineers had a sort of a glorious era of a decade or just under a decade, and then once the teams from up north, the professionals, started to make their mark on the FA Cup, that was it for the old boys teams. And pretty soon afterwards, the Royal Engineers stopped entering the FA Cup, although they did manage to win the FA Amateur Cup just after the turn of the 20th century, back in 1908. So they have got a little bit of history in the 20th century as well as the 19th.
Now, there's a lot of twists and turns in there, and people can buy the book. It's available on our website, tre.radio. But just tell us finally, today, the FA Cup day itself, obviously a great day for them, but it was tarnished by a real disaster, a tragedy that took place.
Well, yes, it did. One of the finals. I mean, I won't go into too many details because I'll let the readers find out for themselves. But yeah, in one of the finals, one of the favourite players in the team throughout this period, he is unable to play in the final after being posted to India. And on the very day of the final, he loses his life at the age of 28 after a riding accident. And only the captain knows that it has happened, and he keeps it from the team until after the final because he didn't want it to ruin the day. It was a day that ended in defeat and tragedy. It's one of their saddest days in their history. But as I say, the book does eventually have a happy ending after, as you say, plenty of twists and turns.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on, Nick. The book's called Foot Soldiers, and it's available now on our website, tre.radio. You get yourself a copy of that. It's fascinating stuff and really real pioneering. I'm glad you put them on the map, Nick, because, you know, we watched Barcelona and even something like my team, Derby, they're doing this passing from out the back now. And I suppose really that came from the Scottish team you mentioned earlier and these guys as well that were really pioneering this stuff.
Yes, that's right. They were very much pioneers, and they saw themselves like that. Indeed, they were the first team to ever have organised training sessions to actually prepare properly for games. So, yes, in many ways, they were front runners for the modern game.
Nick, thank you very much. All the best for Gillingham, and we'll speak again. Cheers, Nick.
David, thank you very much indeed, and good luck to Derby.